Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Orioles season's over. Playoffs started today. They are not a part of it. They held two press conferences yesterday, though, and joining us now to talk about it, covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Jacob Calvin Meyer. And Jacob, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So what did you take away from yesterday? Anything surprise you that was said?
Well, hey, guys. Thanks as always for having me on. Excited to talk about the most functional professional sports team in the city of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Considering whatever the hell's going over at the castle. So
it's nice. Good times.
We need like British tabloids to come over here to figure out what the heck's going on in that building. But I guess I cover the Orioles, so I should focus on them. Listen, I will say, Michael Elias talked for, I think, 44, 45 minutes yesterday, and Tony Manzalino as well. I just think general takeaways is I still find it a little bit strange that Tony Manzalino was even there yesterday.
Yeah.
I'll say this. He deserves a lot of credit for kind of the graceful way that he's handled everything this season. I think there's a lot of people that wouldn't have handled things the same way that he has. And for him to make something that should have been extremely awkward and make it not that awkward is a testament to him and the way that he's gone about this. So kudos to him on that front. When it comes to Elias, the manager thing is going to be something that's obviously huge. He said he wants to get it done ASAP. And I found that to be sort of revelatory just in the sense of, right, it doesn't take a genius to know that this is a really important offseason for Elias and the Orioles. But when you are as pragmatic as Elias is and his front office is, and you're so process oriented, sometimes that can, at least from an outsider's perspective, it can allow you to think that, right, that no off season is more important than another, or that, you know, every decision matters. So therefore we're not going to be aggressive or super urgent. I didn't get that sense. I think Elias really understands that this is sort of a make or break off season, not just for the franchise, but for this young core and for his future in this organization. And so that was probably my main takeaway, that, you know, in amidst all the typical, you know, Elias speak of it all, I did get the sense that he understands that he's got to do some big things this offseason and things to get this back on track.
Well, Jacob, Mike did say that Tony Manzalino is a real candidate to have the interim taken away and just be the next manager. What do you think the likelihood of that happening is? And if that happens, what message do you think that sends to the fan base?
Okay, so I went into yesterday, and this is just my own opinion, with kind of like, hey, this is like a 2% chance that they keep Manzalino as the manager. The odds of that seem to be a little bit higher today than they were a couple days ago, just because if they are looking at him as an actual candidate, my expectation was that it would just be, you know, thanks for everything, best of luck. Now, there is no other – Mike did not say this yesterday, but there is really no other way to interpret that decision, which is to not give him the job immediately and to make him part of the process, other than – hey, we sort of like you, and you might be our second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth choice, but you're not our first choice, and so we want to go out there and see what's out there. I don't think I'm making any leaps by saying that. That does seem to be what the case is here. At the same time, Manzalino then has to, you know, he's in a very strange kind of purgatory here to figure out whether he should wait around for this or go search for something.
What about this? What about if it's this, though? What if it's that they've already got a wink-wink with them, but because they have been accused, rightfully so, of being insular, of being myopic, of not caucusing and finding opinions outside of the only three people who make every decision there, that they have to at least run a search, that maybe ownership has also said, hey, we've got to at least talk to some people here. We can't do what the Pirates did and just give the guy the job because he doesn't have that guy's background and it's a different scenario. Oh, and by the way, yeah, we won more games, but we still can't catch the ball. We don't throw to the right base. We don't know how to slide. And our core all regressed at the plate, right? But at the end of the day, it comes back around to him because he did coach, manage, whatever, 100 games here, and they did have a winning record with him. But they've got to play the optics game a little bit.
Yeah, listen, I like a good conspiracy theory. Like, is there a grassy knoll involved with this one? I'm just kidding. No. Listen, listen, the organization that brought us firing the manager and nobody speaks about it for 3 days and giving him a promotion and nobody says anything for nine months. Like, listen, I'm not going to pretend like anything is impossible here. I'll just say this. These are This organization, you know, whether you like what is happening or not, these are a bunch of smart people. That would be a self-own right there. If they did this simply for optics, you know, and then they just want to hire Manzo, but they know that they need to do a search, that would be an incredible waste of everybody's time. And then
because they're going to download these people for information, and that's how they sell it to ownership. It's the old Al Davis thing. Like, even Al Davis would interview 15 people for his head coaching job. He'd interview special teams coaches. Why? Because I want to find out if this guy's better than my special teams coach. You know what I mean? Like, what's he going to do until the hot stove opens anyway? Like,
well, my point is that it would be such a self-own because, and I'm stealing something that I believe John Neoli at the Banner has said. Which is, if they have a process, a managerial search, and they land on Manzolino, I'm going to have massive questions about that managerial search.
Of course.
And so, if you're going to hire him, he's already given you 119 games so that you can determine whether he should be the guy or not. And so, my point is that would be that's so unfathomable. Unfathomable for me, because they would just be welcoming a bunch of unnecessary criticism, not about the decision, Rich, but they would already have gotten criticism for the decision if they had just said yesterday that Manzolino is the manager. But instead they would get criticism for the decision and the process, because then you're looking at it and saying, okay, so you know, if you interview X, Y, and Z and you chose Manzolino over that guy, or, you know, that they would just be welcoming a bunch of criticism into a process that I don't think that makes sense to do.
But here's what I would counter to that. Did they ever say money's no object? And when you guys asked him about experience, he kind of said experience mattered, but then at the end said experience doesn't really matter. And there's a whole history of people without experience who did well. And he kept trumping, talking about how well he works with Manzolino and how much these players believe in Manzolino. So, like, what I didn't hear was what all the fans wanted to hear, which is, this will be the most robust search ever. Money will not matter. There's going to be a number of candidates out there, including some who kicked our ass in the playoffs, who we would be negligent if we didn't get an audience with. I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, listen, I think this and every other Michael Elias press conference is sort of an inkblot test, which is that people are going to see what they want to see. And, like, I'm, again, would it have been better if Mike had said all those things that you said? Sure. I'll say there are counters to that made me really think that they're taking things seriously, and that make me think that they're not going to hire Tony Manzolino. And that, you know, because you can look at specific things that Mike said and do this, you know, on the other flip side of what you said, which is he denied answering specifics about basically every aspect of his offseason, but he did mention experience and talked about it, you know, at length. There was a caveat in there, to be clear. But listen, my guess is, if I had to, you know, put money on it, and I, you know, I don't gamble and nobody should, they should probably just put the money in a Roth IRA. But
yes.
my guess is that they're going to hire, you know, an actual manager, somebody with experience. And there are a lot of guys that seem to be available that could fit this club.
I'm talking to Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Inside Access here on The Fan. Jacob, what about the whole GM of it all? This is the first time you got to talk to Mike since he was promoted to president, and now he's seen like we're in no rush to hire a GM. We might hire one. What'd you think of all that?
Yeah, this is just like my like bias here, or just like my personal. I am so uninterested about all of this. And some people seem I'm interested about the way they handled it, right? Which I find just incredibly, incredibly strange. But the fact is that at the end of the day, the person that still matters here is Mike Elias and David Rubenstein. And this person will maybe be, in terms of the hierarchy, this person will be Mike's number two. So that is relevant. But in terms of what they mean to you, to me, to the fan base, to the team, this person really isn't anything different than Sig Meidel or Kobe Perez or Matt Blood. And those people are incredibly important, but it's not somebody that is constantly being thought about and talked about from a fan base or even a media perspective. And so this hire, you know, matters in terms of just like the logistics of the front office. But at the end of the day, like, this is Mike Elias's team. This is David Rubenstein's team. And like hiring a general manager, to be clear, a GM really in name only. Nobody knows who the GM of the Padres is or the Mariners. Nobody cares. Those teams are run, you know, by AJ Preller, by Jerry DePoto, and this team is run by Mike Elias. Whether, you know, it doesn't matter who they really hire for GM. So whether it comes in a month or in a year, I just can't say that's something that really I think about too often.
Well, Jacob, circling back to kind of where we started, just how important of an offseason this is for the Orioles, easily their most important offseason in the Mike Elias regime. Are you expecting him to learn from his mistakes and be more proactive this offseason? Because we know how deliberate this front office can be. Are you expecting him to be able to accomplish the things that he needs to accomplish this offseason in order for the Orioles to get back to playing games in October?
Yeah, listen, I don't know. I think the answer to that is an I don't know, because there are data points that we can point to, right? Trading for Corbin Burns that would suggest that they are willing to kind of, you know, push some chips to the middle of the table. There's also the most recent offseason example that they aren't willing or able to do that, and that they're going to try to piecemeal this thing together, and that might not work. You would hope that this season raised a lot of alarm bells in the warehouse about this team right now, right? I've been saying for kind of months now that while a manager obviously matters, right, at the end of the day, unless they hire somebody catastrophically bad or they reincarnate, you know, Earl Weaver and hire that person, that the projected win total for the team next season doesn't really change dependent on the manager. And a lot of what we can assess with the manager, we don't know, because we're not going to know that until, you know, middle to late next season. And we're also not privy to a lot of what a manager does on a day-to-day basis. At the same time, I think it's important to say that what maybe we've learned after this season is that this team needs a strong managerial presence, given the decline of the young core. And so when you look at this team moving forward, right, the starting rotation in the beginning of the season really let this team down. And so that's something that needs to be addressed. And you can look at what they have right now and say, oh, you know, we've got a bunch of guys. We just need to go out and get one pitcher. I think that would be a faulty way of looking at it. They need to put a starting rotation out there that's, you know, capable of carrying this team, because they might need to, because of what's happened on the offensive side. And then they need to hire a coaching staff that can help get these young players back on track. And so those are probably the two main things that Mike has to do this offseason, which is build a real pitching staff and try to bring people into the building that can help get these young guys back on track.
Buckle up, Jacob. It's going to be an interesting offseason. Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the
Orioles
for
the Sun. You're going to be covering Manzolino next year, my man. I'll bet you a milkshake.
Oh.
Listen, where from?
His choice.
Oh,
dealer's choice. I can't make any bets here, but I'm just going to say I don't think that's the case. But if you turn out to be right with your conspiracy theory, we need to start getting you, you know.
You can call it a conspiracy theory. I would say I've been dead to nuts on these guys for years.
Dead to nuts?
Like, I see through them. They don't have a soul to see into, but I see into where their soul should be. And I know when the fix is in. The fix is in. Dude, why did that guy get a forum in front of all you? That's ridiculous. That is nuts.
I can just tell you that Tony Manzolino shook all of our hands as if it was a goodbye yesterday. So
he's better at playing poker than his boss.
I don't know, man. Listen, nothing would surprise me anymore with these guys. But I'm just saying that they need a veteran. They need a veteran manager. And they do.
They're not going to hire one. These guys, veteran managers don't want to work for these jamokes, dude. Like, come on. Manzolino talked about the job description. Don't say anything about personnel. The leaders are great. Everything's fine. We've got it internally. One more offseason of them with heart-to-hearts and everything's going to be A-okay. He had the answers to the test before they allegedly hand the test out to these other people in interviews.
I get it.
But he'll work cheap, too. And don't think that doesn't matter. He'll work real cheap. And he'll keep these other coaches who they don't have to pay to go away because nobody else is hiring them.
Bob Melvin has 12 years of experience working for the Oakland Athletics and Billy Beane.
I would love to see Bob Melvin. I would love to see it. I would love to see it. I don't think it happened in a million years.
You don't think it's a self-owned to do what you're saying and to just...
They don't care. Dude, they've owned themselves at three straight trade deadlines. I mean, self-owned, they are, their brand is self-owned. Bro, they've moved the ballpark more than they've won playoff games. They are the epitome of self-owned. They do nothing but self-owned. Of course, Jacob has no emotion. We got to go.
But Jacob, I hope he has to buy you a milkshake.
Thanks, guys.
See you. Hey, coming up next, all the young dudes. And what did Mike Elias have to say about a couple of young dudes in particular, Adley Rutschman and Heston Kerstad? We'll hear it next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Heston has been working with our doctors and other doctors on a medical condition. He's responded favorably to some treatment and some different treatments that they've done recently, and he's in a good spot right now and pointed in the right direction, and we're going to see him at spring training, and I'm really looking forward to that because we missed the real Heston Kerstad this year.
Another lost season for Heston Kerstad, who I think is 27 years old now, and he says, well, a mysterious illness he had, but he's going to be ready for spring training. You buying Heston Kerstad as somebody?
We don't really know, and this is a situation where there truly are, I guess, HIPAA things probably involved. I don't know how you could bank on anything from him. But I also think this makes him virtually untradeable. So I do think he'll be here. And obviously, Mike Elias has more power than ever. And Mike Elias took this kid second overall. So he really needs this to kind of work out, at least as a left-handed power bat off the bench. So, yeah, I would plug him in if he's healthy and back from whatever this was. I'd plug him in at worst as a fourth outfielder.
I know it's much different circumstances, but I view Heston Kerstad like I view Grayson Rodriguez. Like, yeah. you can't yeah. plan on these guys.
Hey, I'm the guy who said he was going to hit 30 home runs this year. So yeah,
I'm the guy who said Stowers would hit 25 to 30.
Yeah, so, you know, ship has sailed for me on Heston Kerstad. But Tony Manzolino spoke yesterday, and here he is on how to fix some of the younger hitters.
Well, I think we have to start and recognize that expectations for that group have been astronomical in a lot of ways. And in some ways, they set the expectations because a lot of them came out of the gates right away, and they came out really well. I think there are some guys here that have struggled in some ways that weren't part of that initial group that set the bar so high. And I do think it made it unrealistic for some of these guys to kind of follow. You know, I talked to Sammy Basayo yesterday, and I told Sammy to go look at Aaron Judge's first 100 bats in the big leagues. And you know whose numbers it matches? Sammy Basayo's. You know, so I think there's a precedent for young players to have kind of tough stretches in the beginning of the parts of their career. Now, to answer your question, what needs to tangibly change? Well, we need to get these guys back to kind of what they were. Some of these guys that did set the bar high for themselves, and how we do that, for me, I think it's just it's getting together, it's being honest, it's getting all the players in terms of staff, analysts, everybody that has a voice. It's getting, it's soliciting outside opinions. It's doing a lot of different things to try to figure out how we get these guys back on track. And I do have a ton of faith in this organization and their capacity to do just that.
Went off script there saying soliciting outside opinions. This organization doesn't do that. He said a lot there.
He's got no opinions on personnel, but he said that. I mean, and no one's more bullish on Basayo than me. But comparing him to the ultimate unicorn in the modern game is example number 5,000 why this guy is outwitted, overmatched, had no business sitting in that chair for a minute, but we're going to be stuck with him.
Well, what's kind of funny in that same quote.
Yeah, put that on the 20-year-old.
Well, that's what I was saying. Goofball. In his same quote, he was talking about the crazy expectations that exist for the young core.
And then he just put
expectations. But I'm going to invoke Aaron Judge.
And then,
and then he compares Basayo to Aaron Judge.
A 6'7 center fielder who is one of three people in the history of the game to hit over 50 home runs and lead the league in hitting.
Yeah, he's pretty good, that guy.
Did not get the lock and four MVP a couple of years ago.
He
wouldn't get it this year.
His numbers compare favorably to Sam Basayo's first 150 at bats. So he's not wrong, just silly. Coming up next, back to the Ravens. And will Sunday be a big Derrick Henry game? Is he the answer for this offense, especially with no Lamar Jackson looming? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens will be on the practice field tomorrow getting ready for the Texans. Brian Wacker covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. He's reporting that Lamar Jackson unlikely to play Sunday and could miss 2 to 3 weeks. And even before we got this news, we were wondering, is the answer to the offense more Derrick Henry? With Cooper Rush likely starting a quarterback, does that make it even more likely that we're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry?
Has to happen. There's no two ways about it. Was going to happen regardless. Harbs was messaging that it was going to happen. Harbs was publicly calling out his offensive coordinator to ensure preemptively that it happened. And now there are even more drastic personnel situation from a who's available, who's not standpoint has made it absolutely positive. Like I guarantee you that's all they're talking about. In that Texans defensive rooms right now is how do we stop the run better than we did a year ago? Now, not having Ronnie Stanley, Lamar Jackson, and Pat Ricard on the field, going to have a lot to do with that. The right side of this line looking the way it looks now versus maybe how it did last year might have something to do with tipping the scales back in balance. But regardless, against this opponent, when you go back and look at a Baltimore team that ran 43 times for 251 yards and 2 touchdowns against them last December, when they used an extra offensive lineman on 13 of those 43 runs, when they used the fullback, Ricard, on the field for 29 of those 43 runs, and when Derrick Henry himself toted the rock 27 times, his highest total as a Raven, and he's coming in off of 11, his lowest total as a Raven, yeah, it's all screaming in one direction.
Yeah, and this isn't going to be an instance where you're going to have Cooper Rush drop back 40 times. That's no good for anybody at this point. And this is a game where you just got to find a way to win. And your best chance of winning it is trying to shorten the game, trying to win time of possession, try to get to third and manageable. That way you're not asking Cooper Rush to do too much. You got to stay out of the third and tens, the third and eight plus, because that could spell trouble. And you can't turn the ball over. And you could tell in that game against Kansas City, Derrick Henry was not going to fumble
Romo
that football,
and they kept showing you. Yeah. Man. They were making a
Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw, yeah. What he was saying. But I would expect a hefty dose of Derrick Henry in this football.
It also, and you alluded to it, but it shortens the game because it'd be silly to send Cooper Rush out there throwing the ball 35 to 40 times. So.
And I'm sure we're going to talk about this a lot next week, but it's not like this Texans team is this high-flying offense. But when L.A. comes to town next week, you really are going to want to shorten the game with that offense.
Yeah,
good luck.
Yeah, that's a very good offense, and after what they've done defensively against lesser receivers, Puka Nacua, assuming he's healthy this week, he might be the best receiver in football at the moment, and he'll be catching a bunch of balls against backup corners in 2 weeks. But alas.
Yeah. Their character is, their football character is going to be called into question here. This is a team that we've seen overcome some things in the past, and they did right their defense around week 11 last year, and you know they righted it at the trade deadline a couple years before that, and so we've seen them overcome some things, and we've seen them have slow starts before, but a 2-2 and a 1-4 are two very different things, and a loss here would obviously put them at 1-4, and lately the adversity does not seem to be bringing out the best in them.
No.
And there are some people in that building who I think are proving to be front runners.
Yep.
When it's going, we saw a lot of that on the orange part of town and in that clubhouse. When it's all going well, they're jovial and they're speaking to it and they're available and they're backing up their play with their leadership. And then there are others who, when it goes bad, and some of the same ones, are MIA from a productivity standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from an accountability standpoint. And your true colors are revealed. And some of them are making way more money than the way they've been compensated for it and the way they've produced for a long time. And the nexus of all those, confluence of all that is not bringing out the best in any of them, including John Harbaugh, who it's one thing to post-game let everybody know, don't talk about, I don't want you to focus on my D coordinator, I want you to focus on my established offensive coordinator. But when you've now bled that narrative into the new week and made it the talking point of your Monday discourse with the media, even though I don't think they were going there really looking for you to rake Monk over the coals, like, everybody's trying too hard. Sunglasses at night trying too hard. Like, y'all better come together and figure this out and sort it out, or you're going to mess around and miss the playoffs and be the laughingstock of the NFL.
Yeah, we asked the question last week heading into the Chiefs game. Is that a must win? And all of us were like, it's September, whatever. This is a must win on Sunday. You cannot
lose. Yeah, with the Rams looming and the bye looming.
Exactly. You have to find a way to win Sunday.
With anybody looming. They lose this game. You're capable of, you could lose to anybody.
Oh, that's my point. It'll totally you got to win this because I
like
don't
like the
know.
Bears, you think that's easy?
No.
Like, okay, the Bengals are worse than these guys. Like, I'll give you that. They've already lost once to the Browns. If the Browns get an athletic quarterback out there, maybe it does change. Like, bro, they could lose to anybody.
They did beat the Browns, remember?
They beat the Browns with Flacco, but I'm saying they have to play him again. And if that offense gets a little bit, just even a little bit loosened up.
Yes. Boy, did they look bad last night.
Bengals are
Dude,
they have quit.
They quit.
And, the coaches quit. He's trying to get fired.
And Chase is like yelling at him on the sidelines.
Over. They're waving the white flag physically, spiritually, mentally. It's over.
So if they were
These guys might be 2 weeks behind him.
Yeah.
If this keeps up. Like, they might be 2 weeks behind him.
Mike Brown going to trade Trey Hendrickson before the deadline?
History would say no.
Because that would make sense if it's over.
But not everything
makes sense. And yeah,
people don't always do what makes sense.
I remember how they handled AJ Green.
It would make no sense.
Palmer.
If you were doing a full-throated, search for a new manager at a time where your entire organization is in crisis, it would make no sense to prop the interim guy up with 45 minutes before the media to spew whatever talking points you wanted spewed before he met with his boss. But that happened.
It did happen. It was very interesting. And he compared Sam Bisaccia to Aaron Judge, which was nice. Coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts. Big Derrick Henry game Sunday. Will it matter without Lamar Jackson? Is this season already heading towards disaster if Lamar misses significant time? 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next. Want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on the Ravens. They host Houston on Sunday. It's expected that Lamar Jackson will not be on the practice field when they practice tomorrow. Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun is saying he will unlikely play Sunday and probably miss 2 to 3 weeks. Obviously, we know about Roquan, Marlon. We have not heard about Nate Wiggins yet, but we know Brody and Matabike are not coming back anytime soon. In Matabike's case, he's not coming back this year. But 410-583-1057. Let's go to Mike in Bel Air. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Chief?
Hey.
Okay. Hang on with this one. I'm trying to get something classified. The team is falling apart because the conditioning program and the training programs and the coordinators could not get these players ready for NFL season?
I might play some role in it, but I don't know that it's the primary factor.
If you look at it throughout the National Football League right now, I never, ever see this organization like Baltimore Ravens in the 30 years. I've seen defense fail. Last time it went down like this, Bullock lost his job. You know, somebody has to lose their job. I mean, all we need to do is win 10 games. That's going to happen. We're going to win out 10 games.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't care what way it go, but these next 3 home games, it's going to count on keeping the fan base. Because if we come out of this with just 1 win out of the fan base won't come. And when the fan base won't come, then the home rivalries situation will pretty much fall to pieces by the time we go against our own division. Now, we handle our division. We go out and win 3 or 4 games some way, somehow during the season. That'll be about it. But this, as far as I'm concerned, is the coordinators and the training conditioner fault. I see these players just fall on the side. It's
but wait a second. They were healthy. The same training staff as a year ago.
Healthiest team in the league the last couple of years.
Yeah. The training staff is there, but they've been modifying the league so much on pushing these players that these players is no longer in the superior condition like it was back in the 90s and the early 2000s.
I think it's incumbent on them to be. Yeah, they have to do more because their union fought for something the owners were very willing to give them. No more two-a-days? You guys want to have fewer padded practices? That's fine. We don't care.
It was the same system a year ago when they stayed healthy.
The injury stuff usually evens itself out. They were historically healthy last year. They were the healthiest team over the past 13 years in the NFL. In 2023, they were very, very healthy. This might just be one of those years where they have a ton of injuries like in 21 or 22.
Let's go to Trey and Joppa. Trey, you're on the Fan.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up? There.
Got a quick point I want to make about, with Harbaugh talking about kind of calling out Monken, and, a lot of people don't like it, X, Y, Z. This is just my opinion. Zach Gordon don't got no Lamar Jackson. He ain't got no waymaker, no problem solver on the field. Hear me out, Jace. How many times does Lamar Ball or backyard football come into play? That ain't Todd Monken. Look at the Browns games. We scored a lot of points in that game. Some of the best plays this year, they haven't been because of scheme. They've been because, you know what? At the end of the day, somebody made a play. Well, DeAndre Hopkins made a contested catch. Zay Flowers got open. Lamar Jackson made a play. Who's making plays on the defense?
Well, then, you know, then it sounds to me like you're calling out DaCosta because he keeps drafting safeties and corners.
I am a little, but I'm kind of defending Zach Orr too a little bit because guess what, guys? Zach Orr is a disciple of Mike McDonald. These are the same plays. What coverage can I run that can't expose Roquan? Tell me what coverage.
Oh, hey. Yeah. You're calling out the GM. I want to give him $20 million. I'm on record in real time. Hey, this looks really great. I would let him go into the market and see what he can get. I'm not trying to give him an extension now because people don't pay linebackers that much money, especially to your point, people who don't have anybody who wins on the edge, and they got one guy who wins on the inside, Matabike, and they didn't feel like fortifying that.
Well, they paid Matabike. Now his career might be over, so...
And that's unfortunate,
and
you can't know that's going to happen, but you can lean into a D-tackle draft that gave you uber opportunities to, if nothing else, draft for a rainy day if Jones is going to leave.
By the way, we should point out the Ravens have signed Kenyon Green to their practice squad, former first-round pick guard. The Eagles acquired him as a reclamation project in the offseason, but they have had released him. But actually, I think that was the C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Was that the C.J. Gardner-Johnson trade? And that both guys have now been released by their teams.
Yeah.
So a lose-lose, I would say. But they need depth at guard, I guess. I don't know.
They need depth.
Yeah. Coming up next, though, time for some bounce-back, fall-back. Bone asks questions. We answer it. We'll see how Beltway Ben did. Didn't you play for me or him last time? Did he win again? We'll find out next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.